My name is Violet
Glass. I'm from Nome, Alaska right now. I came to Alaska in 1923 on a tupper by the way of Bethel. After arriving at Bethel, I went up the Kuskokwim River as far as McGrath, arriving at Tocotna, Alaska. On arriving at Tocotna, I met my husband, who had left Seattle ahead of me and gone overland by dog team in March. After arriving at Tocotna, he took me out to Gaines Creek, which is 30 miles from Tocotna, as they were moving a dredge from Nome, Alaska, by way of boat, river, and then overland by a horse team and dog team to be put up at Gaines Creek. My husband's name is Mr. Clyde Glass. He was born in California, but came to Nome, Alaska in 1903 as a baby, about 8 months old. After the dredge was assembled, why, we had to find a place to live, so my husband and I cut down a few trees. I gathered the moss, he hewed the trees out, and we assembled a little log cabin to live in, 10 by 11. Had very many pleasant days there. Then next thing on the program, he teach me to go out and hunt, do a little fishing. Got to be pretty good at it. Then from then on, I used to go while he was on the drill crew, prospecting for gold, sinking shafts. We'd carry the dirt home in buckets because it was too cold in the wintertime to pan, and then we'd bring the tub in the house and pan in the cabin. After this kind of life for 3 years, I developed a severe toothache and had to go out overland by dog team as far as Nenana. From Nenana, took the train as far as Seward and from Seward to Seattle. After having medical attention done to the teeth, waited for spring, and in the spring of the year, decided to go to Nome country. Left on the boat, the old Victoria, for Nome, Alaska. Arrived here in 1927. From Nome, we went on down to McGolivan, took a river boat, and went up to Council, Alaska, and went mining over there for a good many years. Lived there for 14 years, and then came back to Nome, Alaska.
Mrs. Glass, you were telling me about a trip you made out by dog team, and you also told me about the money that you carried with you and the gold cleanup. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
In 1923 to 26, while living at Tocotna, they had very little amount of currency, in paper currency. Everything was paid off in gold coins or in silver, and the smallest silver piece was a quarter. So in 3 years' savings, we had a pile of gold coins up on the shelf, as there was no bank in the town. And when we had ready to leave at the end of 3 years, we had to make canvas sacks to carry this gold coin in to go out overland. And the first place we was able to cash them in for paper currency was at Lake Minchumina Roadhouse.
How many roadhouses did you pass along before you got to Minchumina?
Before we hit Lake Minchumina, there were just two. One was the Roosevelt. It's been so many years I've forgotten the name of the other. And the next was Roosevelt. Otherwise, we stayed at Indian villages or camped out on the trip to Nenana. It took us 9 days to make the trip by dog team.
Were you the only dog team? Did you have the only dog team going?
At that time, we were the only dog team on the trail. The mail team was behind us.
You, the mail team finally caught up with you, didn't it?
No, it never did. And what that we had 27 dogs crossing the river at from the crossing at McGrath. The town was on the opposite side. There was 7 of our own and 20 of the mail team. There's where we left the mail team and went on by ourselves. And crossing the river was so weak, the ice, that it broke through. But with the 27 dogs, it kept the sled suspended in the air, but the back end of the sled was in the water. Time arriving on the other side, I was soaking wet. All the baggage, gold bullion that was being shipped with the mail team from Iditarod and McGrath at the time, was on the sled, which made it very heavy and kind of sink down in the back. But arrived okay on the other side, and everything turned out fine. After working for 14 years in Council, Alaska, shortly after that, war broke out. It was the Second World War. So we went to Seattle, where my husband was in the Coast Guard for a few years. At the end of that, end of the war, we came back to Council, stayed 1 year, then decided to try a different country in Alaska. So we went to Valdez Creek. It's about 75 miles out of Cantwell, Alaska. Mine did hydraulic work there and prospecting to see if it paid to put a dredge. Spent 2 years there, 46 and 47. 1947, in September, we had a terrible earthquake. And at the center, that is,
Mrs. Blast, did the earthquake do any damage?
Very much so. It put us out of operation, so we never went back there again. We generally, I'm on one side of the river, and the mining is on the other side, which is a canyon 114 feet deep between the two places. So I used to go out at 5:45 every evening and ring the bell for the boys to let them know that it was time for them to quit work to be back at the camp at 6 o'clock for dinner. For some reason, on this day, I rang the bell at 5:30, and at 5:45, the men had all of their supplies, all of their tools, shovels and picks and everything put up on the side of the bank, and were starting for home when the earthquake came. It rumbled, it opened up the side of the mountain, shook the cookhouse, broke my windows, knocked the dishes out of the shelves, turned the hot water tank and back of the stove upside down, and it covered the mine completely. All the flumes, all of the booms, except the tail end of the flume, the very last box is always left exposed. It turned the suspension bridge across the canyon, which is 114 feet, turned it completely over, opened the side of the mountain with a trail coming up to the camp.
Did it, was it a slide or did it open a crevasse in the...
It opened the earth, opened it up completely, opened big potholes. A lot of rumble and roar, rocks rolling all over. And with the pit where the men worked was completely covered. Never was able to uncover it again.
Do you have any idea how deeply it was covered?
No, we don't know, because after we left there, another concern, don't know the name of it, took it over the following year and tried to dig it out, but never did succeed up to this present time that I know of.
This must have been the same earthquake we felt in Fairbanks that opened big cracks across the roads and shook the canned goods off the shelves in the stores.
It is, because we heard from Fairbanks that they figured that the earthquake was centered about 125 miles away from Fairbanks, which would be just about where our camp was.
Were there any men hurt?
No, there was no one hurt. But if I hadn't rang the bell at 5:30, they had all been buried. After the disaster on Valdez Creek, Alaska, I decided to come back to Nome area. I've been back here ever since.
Mrs. Glass, while we were talking a while ago, you mentioned several interesting stories that happened during your life. Could you tell us about the native you befriended at one time?
There was a native boy. He arrived at Takotna, and his wife was very sick. And after a couple of days, she passed away. And none of the women wanted to go up to lay her out, so I told him I would do it for him. I forgot all about the incident until I went to make my trip outside. And on the way out, an overland by dog team, who did we run into in one of the native villages? Was this here native that I'd helped lay his wife out. He repaid us way over than what I did for him. He gave us a rabbit skin robe, mukluks, parkies, to have on our trail outside over to Nenana, and I left everything at Nenana Roadhouse for him.
Well, that's a true Alaskan spirit. You were talking to us also about a bootlegger in that part of the country who sold beer at 25 cents a drink.
Yes, this party sold beer at 25 cents a drink, but didn't know how to make change with a dollar, except it knew that four quarters made $1. So if you were the first customer of the morning, you went in and had your glass of beer, why, he didn't charge you, but he marked it up on the wall. Second party would come in, why, he'd get his glass of beer free, but mark it up on the wall. The third party would come in, get his glass of beer free, but mark it up on the wall. The fourth person coming in had to pay the dollar for all other three people. So whenever anyone went in there, didn't know whether they were going to have to pay for this liquor or not.
I think that the early day method of making change before they used nickels and dimes and pennies was interesting. You told us about a woman who wouldn't be bothered with the small change when she got in Seattle. Could you tell us what she did with her change?
Well, this lady she was in Seattle for quite a while, so naturally the pennies and nickels and dimes accumulated in her purse. So while walking down the streets of Seattle with her, there was a little newsboy on the corner. She walked up to the little newsboy and she says, "Take your hat off, Sonny."